2 Peter chapter 3. Thank you, Miss Abby. Enjoy hearing Abby play and sing. Pick on her a lot, but she can take it. She's part of the Crawford clan, so she has to take it. Ain't that right, Joshua? And it's part of being a Crawford. And like I said earlier, do be in prayer for a pastor. Me and him figured out this week how old we are. And we're not that old, I know. Some of y'all that are older, you're always going to be older than me, so anyway. We figured out real quick, like, that we cannot stay up 24 hours. We figured that out. We tried it this week. We left Sunday night, was going on a little staff retreat with the guys, and went up to Texoma, and we ended up just staying on the boat all night, and I got 6 hours sleep in 48 hours. I don't even know if I'm standing here still yet. And so we realized real quick, like, but he was already sick, and that kind of compounded things. And so do be in prayer for him, not feeling well. And so I guess maybe Tanya maybe passed on what she had to him. But be in much prayer for him, because even, what was it? I guess Monday, I don't know what day it is today, but I believe it's Monday evening, he began to lose his voice. And finally he's just like, you know, that kind of tone. And so we knew yesterday coming back he wasn't feeling good at all. And so be in prayer for him if you would. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to deal with the last one of these things not to be ignorant of, and we'll end up in 2 Peter chapter 3. Of course, all the rest of them were Paul saying, brethren, I have you not to be ignorant, and he went on to go through a few things there. But now we're going to deal with Peter and what the last one tonight. And you can study the Bible, you can study the word ignorant through the Bible, and it just means that they're unlearned, is that they had not been taught, or something that they had forgotten. And the Bible never wants us to be ignorant of some things. And tonight we'll talk about God's timing. Don't be ignorant of God's timing. And so we'll look at this tonight. We'll look at the first few verses, and then we'll get to preaching here in just a moment. It says this, second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Somebody, I was reading a commentary last night, and he said, you don't want to stir up a non-pure mind. That just creates a mess. And isn't that true? You want to leave them alone, but you want to stir up that pure mind. What does that pure mind mean? It means a mind that is focused on Christ. That pure mind, you want to stir that up by what? By way of remembrance. And so this is the second writing of Peter to these Christians, and he says that ye may be mindful of the words, and he's going to talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament, so notice this. He says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, that's the Old Testament, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, that's the New Testament. And they would have had probably a few books by this time of the New Testament. But verse 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Notice that. For since the fathers fell asleep, that means since they died, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, why should we be scared of this God that you've been saying is going to come back? We've not seen him. We've not seen any evidence of him. And by the way, scoffer just simply means, in the Bible, means a mocker. They're everywhere, aren't they? Mocker of God. Anything. If you stand for right, I guarantee you somebody's against it. You know, and we live in a social media world today, and all the scoffers have come out of the woodwork, haven't they? And you know, if they see you with an NRA sticker nowadays, you're a target. If you got a Bible, if you got a Chick-fil-A, you know, they're against you. I mean, anything that is good, the world is, they're a mocker. I have people, you know, whenever I was, after I got saved, you know, I had mockers say, why do you want to go to church? You know? And why do you trust that the Lord's coming back again? They believed that he was going to come back in Peter's time, and he didn't come back. But we're going to talk about God's timing, how God works. Now notice what he says in verse 5. He says, for this they willingly, notice that word, I highlighted that word in my Bible, are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Okay, he's talking about creation. But here's in verse 6, he's going to talk about Noah's flood. He says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water perished. By the way, it was a worldwide flood. It wasn't a localized flood. It was a worldwide flood. That old world perished. He's not talking about, when he says world, he's not talking about the earth crust and all of that. He's talking about the people, the world. The people of that day perished, except for how many? Eight people, right? Eight souls were saved by that ark. All the rest of the world at that time perished and drowned in that flood. Now notice what happens here. But the heavens and the earth, verse 7, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the of ungodly men. Now here's what he's saying. God's not going to ever flood the world again. That's why we have the rainbow. The rainbow was not given to the homosexual crowd. It was given to the Christian to remind us of the grace of God. And there we go again. They've taken a symbol of God and made it into a mockery. I don't even wear nothing with a rainbow on it anymore. Hello? And God, if they only knew the true meaning of that rainbow, why God hasn't destroyed them? That's it. It's because that was a picture of God's grace. And by the way, all of us, we would all be perished if that wasn't true. But one day, the world's going to be purged again by what? Not water this time, but by fire. Now notice what he says in verse 8. This is our text verse tonight. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Whew, cliffhanger. Just this one thing. Hey, I like when I read a book and there's one thing I got to know out of it. Right? Pastor has us reading a book right now. I read it some of it today. There's a lot in that book. And he didn't say, hey, I want y'all to get this one thing out of it. I wished he did because I had read that one thing and I'd been done, right? But it's a good book. But notice what he says. He says that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. And a thousand years as one day. Somebody said if that's literal, then really it's only been 2 days since the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ in God's eyes. But here's the thing, is what this verse is telling us, and we'll talk about this here, of course that's the message tonight, is that we don't understand God's timing. See, when God created man, He created man in seven literal 24-hour days. God created us with a time clock. I don't know about you, but I have an internal clock. Donya can tell you, over my lifetime, I'll be 42 this year, I can tell you on both of my hands as an adult how many times I've woken up by an alarm clock. I automatically wake up. Is that not right? My wife can tell you, it drives her nuts. Matter of fact, if I set an alarm clock, I wake up 15 minutes before it goes off. I just haven't, but listen, all of us run by time. Are anybody else like me? About 9, 10 o'clock, my body's done. Amen. Some of y'all, it was done about 7 o'clock, it looks like. Whoa, preacher, you better hurry this baby up. I'm just talking about the staff guys that stayed up all week. And me too. You know, but we are. We're run by our clocks. What do we spend most of our time doing? Looking at our watches, looking at our phones now. I don't even wear a watch anymore. There's clocks everywhere. You know, I mean, we're run by. If it says 8 o'clock and y'all are not out of here, we're going to go, oh no, what do? You know, at 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, we're like, whoa, we're running late. And even pastor usually announces that. I'm sorry I kept you over time. What does that mean? Or we should have no time in church. If a football game goes in overtime, we're like, yeah. Amen. If there's more wrecks on the racetrack and it holds the race up, we're like, yeah. Church goes 1 minute past, we're like, whoa, what are you wanting from me? Over an hour, you know? I mean, you know, really, you know, I didn't know churches had service times. From 9:45, we'll have you out by 12, you know? But we're made that way, aren't we? We're governed by time. What do? We work 8 to 5, or you work 7 to whatever you work. We're governed by time. We're governed by the clock. But God is reminding us that He's not. God is ageless, He's timeless, He's not bound by the confines of time. Me and you are bound by time. You're bound by time. There's a point in time that you're going to die. You're going to be done if the rapture doesn't happen. That's okay with me if the rapture did happen. Amen to that. And, I look at verse 9 and notice what he says. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. You know what slack is, right? It's when something's not tight. You ever been pulling a car? Back in the old days, you used to pull cars a lot because they never worked right. And one of the worst things my dad always hated whenever I was pulling him in a car or a truck is he said, don't allow the rope. We pulled with ropes back in the day, or anything we get our hands on. You know, we pulled with a pair of jeans one time. I don't know how we even got onto that one. But, you know, a pair of jeans. We should have done a commercial for Levi's. But, you know, my dad always said, hey, don't let slack get in there. Why? Because what's going to happen? You're going to jerk his eyes out here in just a minute. And I remember many times my dad getting out infuriated at me because I jerked that thing all the way. You know, I was just scared of getting up that hill, and he would catch up with me and I wouldn't go far enough, and it was just a mess. That slackness. And God said that he's not slack. There's no slack in him. He's always taut. He's always tight. He's always straight. He's always what he needs to be. Why? Because he's not bound by time. But notice what he says. As some account slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. What a God we serve tonight. God says that Peter says we should not be ignorant of God's timing, because one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. Notice what he says. He says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and the Lord as a thousand years, one day, and a thousand years, one day. So I don't know about you, but we are bound by time. I'm bound by a calendar. Aren't you? You know, I don't know how I live without the reminders in my phone. Every day I hear, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I put that in there. I'm glad I put it in there because I forgot about that very thing. Why? Because on this day that had to happen. At this time that had to happen. Brody had a dentist appointment today at 11 o'clock. He was bound by time today. He had to be at that appointment. See, God doesn't wake up. God doesn't go to sleep. God doesn't look at a calendar. God doesn't have a clock. On the walls of heaven, there's not a clock up there. I preached over at Weatherford here last Sunday morning, whatever it was, Sunday before that. And they got a new clock in the back. That thing is, I'm not lying. I got a sunburn off that clock. It was a digital clock this big. And I was thinking, man, did they have that big of a problem with preachers coming in and preaching 2 hours? And me, it was more distracting because I would preach and I would go, okay, I got plenty of time. Okay. It was more distracting. Why? Because we are bound by time. But as we look at the scripture and he says, don't be ignorant of these things. When? In the last days. In the last days, don't be ignorant of that God is not going to come. Don't be ignorant that we can sit back and that we can, as Christians, can relax and quit witnessing to people and quit studying our Bible and quit teaching others also that they may teach others. Why? Because Christ is coming back. We may only have just a few hours. We may only have just a few days. But you say, well, wait a minute. It's been 2,000 years since the ascension, over 2,000 years since the ascension of Christ. Why would he come back now? Well, because this one day with him is as 1,000 years with us. Because why? God is not bound by time. See, we can't comprehend that, can we? If you look at my birth certificate, I was born in Enterprise, Alabama, in November the 29th, 1976. And on my birth certificate, I don't know what time I was born. Don't really care. I don't know how long I was. I don't know how fat I was. I think I was 9 pounds something. I don't know. But On that birth certificate, it has a time when, not when my life began, but when I became an American citizen, right? When the doctors acknowledged me. And there is a time stamped on that. And that time, but also just like that time, there is another time somewhere down through this age of that Michael Wiggins' life on the other side of the dash, there's another time. See, I'm bound by time. But let's remember that God up in heaven is not looking at his clock going, is Daddy, is today today? Nope. Okay. Maybe it'll be the 14th. Lord, is it the 15th? No, God's not that way. See, I don't even understand how God cannot know time. Because I am so bound by time. You realize God knows everything at one time? I don't even know what's going on now half the time. Amen to that. Somebody say amen. Y'all help me tonight. Don't make me feel like I'm the only dumb one in here. At least amen your husband or something like that. And point to him and say, honey, that's you too. Mom always said I was dumb as a brick. And I was like, I don't even know what a brick, how dumb a brick is. That's how dumb I am. But notice what our scripture says in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. And what is this one thing? It's God's timing. Notice verse 10. I want us to read on, and I'm going to give you a few points. We'll go home. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And now this is the second coming of Christ. It says that the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Notice what he says in verse 10. He says, but the day of the Lord, that time when Jesus comes back, and we're living in the shadow of that now, that no man knoweth the hour. If you hear some yahoo get on TV and say that Jesus is coming back October the 12th, 2019, then I know one thing. That is the day that Jesus is not coming back. Well, y'all quit making predictions because he is not coming back that day. How's he going to come back? He's going to come back as a thief in the night. He's going to come back as a thief in the night. And you say, well, the earth's going to pass away. Jesus is telling us, hey, don't be ignorant of that day. Why? Because it is going to come. And it's not going to come when you look at your calendar and say, this is the day that it's going to come. He's going to come when you think it's not. And he's going to come quick and swiftly and take away the lost of this world. And he's going to melt this earth with a fervent heat. Why? Because he's got to purge it. Let me give you three things tonight. Things not to be ignorant of. These three things. Number one, don't be ignorant of God's long suffering. By the way, don't take advantage of God's long suffering. Notice what he says in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. What a God we serve, that He's willing to wait, and He's willing to allow us time. And listen, He could have very well ascended, waited a year, and came back again, but He didn't. Jesus could have very well just ascended and came back in 10 years, but He's not. Why? Because He's long suffering. The reason that me and you are in church tonight is because God is long suffering. Hello? Can you give me amen, so we're going to back up. We all were lost in our sin. And God, through His mercy, was long-suffering to us. I don't know about you, but I didn't get saved the first time I ever heard the gospel. I didn't get saved the first 100 times I heard the gospel. That's how stubborn I was. I was in church as a child, and I heard the gospel in Sunday school. I heard the gospel in church. I heard the gospel in church and in church and in church. And one day, listen, as a 16-year-old boy in 1994, somewhere along in there, that I got saved. After God's long suffering, God could have just went, Wiggins, I'm tired of you. But He's long suffering. See, we don't need to be ignorant of God's timing, because God's timing equals long-suffering. You say, do you want Christ to come back? Yeah, I do, but I want my dad to get saved first. And some of you have those loved ones too, don't you? Now, not that that's going to prevent His coming. Understand that. Nothing can prevent His coming. The raptures could happen at any moment. But I'm just praying, God, would you be a little long-suffering for my dad? Lord, would you be a little long-suffering for some cousins and people that I have in my family that are lost? Lord, would you do that for me? And guess what? God is not going to do it for me, but He's doing it for Himself. I want you to notice the second thing in verse 9. All three of these are in verse 9. Not only do we see God's timing through His long-suffering, but also we see His timing through His love. By the way, isn't He a God of love? Notice what happens right here. He says, but is long-suffering to usward. Now here's His love. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not up in heaven going, I can't wait to crush them. I can't wait to open up hell and throw them in there. God's not that kind of God. He said He's not willing that any should perish. Who's any? That means any. You don't need a Greek concordance to figure that one out. That he says any, he says, I don't want nobody. Why? Because he gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. For God so, say it, loved the world. God's love is shown in his timing. His timing is always perfect. He gave his son on the right day. He gave his son on the right day. He's going to come back on the right day. Why? Because of his love. He's not willing that any should perish. There's a lot of things in this world I would like for it to perish.
Meow.
I didn't say the word. I gave an illustration. I'm just kidding. But mosquitoes. Amen. I can get a witness on that one, right? Flies. Can I get a witness? You know, all the things that are annoying. That would be all of us probably too. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But you know what? God is not willing that any of his creation should perish. Why in the world is that? Because I'm going to tell you what. Not everybody that he created loves him. Not everybody that that is in this world that is a creation of God love him and applaud him and worship him. There are some people in our world who worship Satan, his opponent. There are people in this world who worship idols and other gods, but yet God still loves them. Whew. Don't be ignorant of God's love. See, his timing tells us how much he loves. His long suffering tells us how much he loves. And also in this whole scripture, I wish we could go through and you ought to just go home and read the whole chapter. And it talks about why we should live right. It's because seeing this day approach, we should live in old holy conversation. Verse 11 says, looking and hastening unto the coming of the Lord. That we should live right, we should do right. But here's the last thing tonight, is that don't be ignorant not only of God's long suffering, his love, but number three, of his lordship. By the way, he is in charge. You see, sometimes we can get our eyes off of God, and because that in our eyes, we think that he is, what's the word that we use? That he is not coming. He's lingering. And because somebody lingers, sometimes we have a tendency to do our own thing. You say, give me an illustration. I'm glad you asked for one. See, if Brother Crawford stays gone too long, we don't act right as staff. We start wrecking things, burning things. It's bad. I don't know what happens to these guys. I try to set the example for them, and they just don't get it. Or maybe I'm the one daring them. I don't know. I'm still a kid at heart. And we're glad to have Brother Nick. I haven't quite broke him in yet. We'll give him about a year before we start daring him to do stuff. So, Brother Nick has another few months to go. But I will say this, I can tell you this, is that Mama would leave me home at the house by myself. And if she lingered too long, my problem in life is, what's that do? That was always my problem. What's that do? I wonder what that does. Mama, I was a curious George. Mom should have named me George. Because I was always, I wonder what that do. I was the guy in the backyard with the vacuum cleaner tore apart. Because I wanted to know, what does that do? I was the guy who would take things apart and figure out why does it work that way. I've always been that way. But as Mom or Dad would linger, I would get in more and more trouble. Hello? Let me give you another illustration because some of y'all ain't getting that one. Some of y'all are golden children. When we had substitute teachers at school, I was raised in public school. Obviously, you can tell that. But anyway, nothing against public school kids. I'm just kidding, by the way. But I was raised in public school, and when we had substitute teachers, guess what? We loved it. I loved it when they said, now, what do y'all normally do? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I said, well, what we normally do, we usually go out for PE. In science class? I don't know why she always did that, but that's what she just let us go outside. You know, I mean, you know, you would try to get away as long as the real teacher wasn't there, the boss wasn't there. And the real teacher come back. Not the substitute teacher isn't a real teacher, but, you know, the full-time teacher comes back. She asks why you haven't done what you're supposed to do. Why? Because they lingered too long. And guess what happened? we forgot who was in charge. Until, back in those days, they get that little thing out called a paddle. Maybe we should show pictures one day. This is a paddle. Every high school, or every school I went to, had male principals that were, they lifted weights all their life, it seemed like. Strongest thing they had on their body was an arm. And y'all had the teachers, and we had the principals, and we had deans back in those days. We had those paddles that had the holes in it.
Amen.
Amen. For wind resistance, you know, go away. But really, it was so that you could tell who spanked you. If you had three little dots back there, Mama would know all the principal got you. But if it was four dots, the dean got you. His paddle had more holes in it. My mother would identify them by the holes that were in the back seat of my britches. But you know what? As God seems to linger, God is not lingering, by the way. God's right on time. But as it seems to this world, God is lingering. People don't see Him as Lord anymore. And by the way, as Christians, we have to be careful too. Is that because we don't see Him physically and because we can stay away from church and our Bibles and prayer and things like that, we forget that He is Lord. By the way, He's Lord whether you're reading your Bible or not. He's Lord whether He comes back today or not. He's Lord no matter what. Because why? He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am, He said. And sometimes we should not be ignorant of His Lordship, that God is in control. And these people that Peter is writing to, he's reminding them of the scorners. They forgot He's still in charge. And that's why he was trying to remind them that God of old times, He flooded the earth and said, all right, that's enough. And God is not far away, I believe, from saying again, that's enough. Because one day, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. One day, He is coming back. Now I know I'm preaching to folks that know that Jesus is coming back tonight, but I just want to ask you this tonight. Is He really Lord in your life? If we're all honest, there's times that we go through that we take Jesus off of the throne of our heart and we place ourselves there, don't we? Lord, we want our ideas and our way, and we want our time and all these things. But listen, God's not bound by time. God is long-suffering. He's still loving, but He is still Lord. Nothing you do is going to ever change that, but here's where the joy of your life is going to come from, is to allow Him to be Lord of your life. Now, we don't get saved because you allow Him to be the Lord of your life. You get saved because you ask Him to forgive you and to save you from the wrath of God and believe that He is who He said that He was. But when you get saved, guess what happens? You need to allow Him to be Lord. See, the longer that it seems that He lingers, and sometimes the longer that we don't see His hand, we don't see great revivals anymore, we don't see great miracles anymore, so to speak, and the longer that goes on, we can tend to forget that He is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. Is He Lord of you tonight? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. God, I'm so thankful for Your long-suffering. So thankful for Your love. Lord, thank You that You're Lord of my life tonight. Lord of my family tonight. Lord of this church. And God, I thank You for allowing us the opportunity that we have to open up Your Word. I pray that You'd speak to Your folks tonight. God, if there be one here that does not know Jesus Christ, their Savior, Lord, I know it's Wednesday night, but Lord, and we know that Your salvation is not bound by time. And so God, tonight I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And God, I pray for those tonight that just have forgotten about You, Lord, and Lord, may You stir up our minds tonight by remembrance that You're still God, You're still in control, and it's all about Your timing. Lord, I love You tonight and ask You to bless this invitation. In Jesus' name.